Today's daf is Bavasra daf Kuf Mem Tes. We left off on daf Kuf Mem Ches Amid Beis. We're a little bit behind. We left off at Ibayilahu. Chazar b'mitzvahs havi chazar b'kula olau. It's about 10 lines into the wide lines on Kuf Mem Ches Amid Beis. Let's get moving here. Ibayilu. Chazar b'mitzvahs havi chazar b'kula olau. What's the shiloh over here? You have a shchiv mirah who writes over all of his nechasim to one person. And then, let's say he says, Reuven should get all of my nechasim. And then, a little while later, he says, you know what? Shimon should get some of my nechasim. So what does he mean to do when he says, Shimon should get some of my nechasim? Does he mean to say, take some of the nechasim that I wanted to give to Reuven and instead give those to Shimon, but everything else that I intended to give to Reuven should still go to Reuven? Or do we assume that what he's saying is, instead of me giving all of my nechasim to Reuven, I instead only want to give some of my nechasim to Shimon, and the rest I want to keep for myself? So what do we assume his intention is? And obviously, major nafkaminas. Because if he gave away all of his nechasim, then im amad chozer. If he gets better, he can go back on the entire kinyan, because no one would ever want to give away all of their nechasim if they think that they're going to get better. But if he only intended to give away some of his nechasim, so im amadeinu chozer, if he were to get better, he would not be chozer, he would not be able to go back on the kinyan. So what is the halacha? Tashma says Gemara will bring a raya. Kulon rishonim ktsasun l'sheni. If a person says, I'm giving all of my nechasim to Reuven and some of my nechasim to Shimon, like we just said, sheni kana, rishon lo kana. The second guy, Shimon, is kona those miktsas. The first guy is not kona anything. My lav b'shemes, isn't that talking about a case where he in fact ends up dying and we still say that the first guy is not kona anything? So you see that a chazara b'miktsas is a chazara. He's obviously going back on the entire kinyan to the first guy, and instead of giving everything to guy number one, he's giving only part of his nechasim to Shimon. Lo, answers the Gemara, no, that's not at all the case. Bisha Ahmad, we're talking about a case where he got better. And because he got better, that's why the Reuven was not kona, because he would not give away all of his nechasim if he was planning on getting better. Hachinami mistavra, and you have to say that we're talking about that he got better. Midiktani seifa, because it says in the seifa, miktsasim the rishon makulun l'sheni, if a guy wants to give away some of his nechasim to Reuven, and then he says, and I give away all of my nechasim to Shimon, rishon kona, Reuven is kona, Sheni lo kona, Shimon is not kona. So Iyam b'Shlomo b'Shamad, if we're talking about a case where the guy got better, Mishum hachi Sheni lo kona. So you understand why Shimon is not going to be kona, because he would never want to give away all of his nechasim to Shimon if he's going to get better. Eli Iyam b'Shemes, but if you're going to say that we're talking about a case where in fact Shimon is dead, where in fact the guy dies, Travayu liknu, then both Reuven and Shimon should be kona, because after all, when he gives away all of his nechasim, planning on dying, and in fact he does die, so that's an absolutely valid form of kinyan. Amrli Rav Yemer l'Ravashi. So Rav Yemer says, Ravashi, wait a second, back up a second. Let's say, so what are you trying to prove? That we're talking about a case in this brisa where the guy got better? It still doesn't make perfect sense. V'tahavi nami b'sha'amad. Even if we're talking about a case where he got better. Iyam Rav Yishlam ha'chazara b'miktsas havi chazara b'kula, hainu d'sheni miaskana. If you're going to say that when you go back on part of the gift, it's a chazara, you're going back on all of the gift, meaning when I say I'm giving Reuven everything, and then I say I'm giving Shimon something, it means that Reuven is in fact getting nothing. So now I understand why, if the guy gets better, Shimon is kona something. Why is Shimon kona something? Because all he's receiving is part of the property, the rest the guy kept for himself. So even though he got better, Shimon will be kona something. But if you're going to say that retracting on part of the kinyan is not considered a retraction on the whole thing, then neither Reuven nor Shimon should be kona anything. Why? Because if a guy says, I'm giving Reuven 100% of my property, and then he says, you know what, give Reuven 90% and Shimon 10%, he's still getting rid of everything. And if he's getting rid of everything, if that's how we interpret his intention, that he's giving Shimon 10% but still giving Reuven the other 90%, that he's giving away everything, then when he gets better, if he were to get better, the whole kinyan should be void. Because we assume that im amad, that if a guy gets better, he never intends to give away everything. So neither Reuven nor Shimon should be kona. And therefore we have a clear raya, v'hilchsa chazar b'miktsas, Havi chazar b'kula, that the halacha is that if a person is chozer on part of it, he's chozer on everything. Meaning, if he says Reuven's going to get 100% of my property, and then he says Shimon's going to get 10%, clearly we assume that that means that Reuven is going to get nothing. When he says Shimon's going to get 10%, it means Shimon's only going to get 10% and Reuven's going to get absolutely nothing. Reisha mishkachas la bein shemes bein shamer. And once we say that this is the halacha, that chazar b'mitzvah is chazar b'kula, so the reisha could apply in the case whether the guy died or the guy got better. Either way, the second guy is going to be kona because he was chozer from the kinyan on the rishon, to the first guy, and therefore it's considered to be a major shiur. He left out a lot from the kinyan. He was not makna all of his possessions. He was makna a percentage of his possessions. So even if he dies, Reuven's not going to be kona anything because he had been chozer on that kinyan before he died. And seifa l'mashkachas la'elukasha amad. And the case of the seifa where he gave, where we said that the first guy is kona, that's only Kisha Amad. That's only if he got better. The first guy is Kona because it was a Matana B'miktsas. He gave a partial Matana and he left over something for the second guy. Now the second guy is not Kona because he left over nothing in the Kinyan to the second guy. And when you leave over nothing and you get better, then that Kinyan is going to be invalidated. So that's why in the Seifa, when he said, I'm going to give 10% to Reuven, and then he said, I'm going to give 100% to Shimon, that's why Shimon is not going to be Kona if the guy gets better. Reuven will be Kona if the guy gets better, but Shimon will not, because Shimon represented giving away all of his property. Okay, we are now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom of the page on Kuf Mem Chesam Beis, Ibayiluhu. So, Frakling Mar, the following Shaila. Hikdish kol nechasov ha'amad mahu. What if a person was makdish all of his nechasim, and then he got better? Meaning, we said, if he gives away all of his nechasim as a shchiv mira, and then he gets better, we assume that he only gave it away with the plan of dying. But that if he didn't intend on not having anything left, and being alive, and not having any nechasim left, that's true when you give it to another person. What if you're makdish all of your nechasim? Mi amrin kalagabe hegdish gamar makni? Odim kalagabe nafshe lo gamar makni? Do we assume that since the other party is hegdish, the person has more gemir stas and he really wants to be makne it to hegdish? Or do we assume that since it's hegdish versus himself, no matter how much he loves hegdish, he always loves himself a little bit more? So he would never be makna everything to hegdish if the other option is that he gets to keep something himself. So that's the shaila. Now the Tosus Rid, throughout this Gemara, the Tosus Rid is going to have a different mahalik. Tosus Rid's mahalik in this shaila is not stam that a person is gomer or makni for hegdish because hegdish is such a noble cause. No, it's something much, much greater than that. He says, let's say a shchiv mira gave all of his nechasim to another person with a real kinyan, did an actual form of kinyan. So we don't say that he can be chozer when he gets better. We say that divrei shchiv mira, when the shchiv mira says, I want this to go to so-and-so, and he gives away everything, then if he gets better, he can retract. But if he actually does a real kinyan, where he actually gives things to other people, so then he's not going to be able to retract. That's a haknah gemura. That's a real valid form of kinyan. You can't just undo a real, absolute, valid form of kinyan. The concept of a shchiv mira saying something, and that counting as a form of kinyan, we said is a drabanan shlotitrof daito, right? That's what we said a couple of days ago. But when you do a real kinyan, that he's not going to be able to be chozeran. So says the Tosus Rid, we know amirasa l'gva k'misirasa l'hediotami, that what is a valid form of kinyan when it comes to hegdish, words alone work for a kinyan to hegdish. So therefore, there's reason to assume that this should be considered a real kinyan, where you can't just be chozer the moment you get better. So that's the suffix, dafka by hegdish. Okay, so says the Gemara, we're not done yet with the shailas. That's one shaila. If he's makdish all of his nechasim, what about hifkir kol nechasav mahu? Now the Rishonim all assume that this is an implicit imtim tzolomar, meaning imtim tzolomar, that when you're makdish all of your nechasim, you cannot be chozer. What if you weren't makdish, so it wasn't to the most noble cause, but you were mafkir? And that's a somewhat noble cause also. After all, mi aminan kivan ta'afla aniim ka'ashirim gamar makni. Since when you're mafkir something, poor people can take it. I mean, rich people can also, but poor people can take it just as much as rich people can. And therefore, it's somewhat of a noble cause to be mafkir all of your nechasim. So maybe you really have intention to really be mafkir it, even if you get better. Maybe we say no. When it's against himself, when it's either the poor people or himself, he's not going to be interested in losing out on all of that. That's when it comes to Hefker. Now the Yad Rama explains that the Suffolk by Hefker is that the Suffolk is that since he didn't do a mitzvah, right, when you're mafkir, so clearly you don't intend to be mafkir al dasha yamus. Or do we say no, that since he always thinks about hefker as something that he can always take back if he wants, so maybe he had full das to be mafkir it entirely, meaning that's the wild card with hefker, that what are the two options? I'm being mafkir and I really mean it because it might go to poor people, or I don't really mean it because I really want it still. But by hefker, the side of I really want it still doesn't necessarily mean you're not making it hefker. Because when you make it hefker, you know you still have the chance to get it back. As opposed to when you make it hekdish, or you give it to somebody, well then it's done, you're not getting it back. But by hefker, in the back of your mind, you think I might always still be able to get it back. So maybe, even though a person is fundamentally selfish, but that doesn't necessarily fly in the face of hefker. You still might be able to get it back, even if it is hefker. Okay, then one final shayla. Chile kol nechasav la'aniyim mai. What if he gives it all to poor people? So unlike in the case of hefker, where rich people might also take it, so it's not quite as noble a cause, if you give it all to poor people, well then you're really doing a big mitzvah. Miram rinan tzedakah vaday migmar gamar makni. Do we assume tzedakah, a person is completely into it and he totally wants to give it whatever he can because it's a great mitzvah of giving tzedakah? Or again, a person is fundamentally selfish and he would want to keep it for himself, meaning yes, he loves giving to aniyim, but there's one thing that he loves even more than giving to aniyim, and that is having it for himself. So what do we assume? So says the Gemara, teku. What we assume, we don't know, teku. So what do we paskin when you have a teku? So the Rambam over here paskins that a shkiv mira that's makdish kol nechasav and doesn't leave anything out, or is hifkir, or is chalkan aniyim, he puts all three in the same boat, he says in ma'amad chozer b'kol, that if he gets better, then all three, he can retract in all three cases, that none of them are considered absolute. So we assume it's just like any other case of a shchiv mira, where if he gets better, he could be chozer. Why? So the Rishonim explain, because it's a suffik. So misafik, what do we assume? Hamotzi mechaver olaf haraya. And the muchzak is the shchiv mira himself. Meaning these people want to say that they were kona, the aniyim, or the Beis HaMikdash, or the hefker, whatever, want to say that it's not his anymore, but we know the last known owner of it was this shchiv mira. So if you want to get it out of his hands, you need to bring a raya, and the Gemara leaves it as a suffix, so you're never going to be able to bring a raya. That's the Rambam Shita. The Rush holds that since it's a suffix, and the suffix is, the suffix was not whether he made a kinyan. He definitely said as a shchiv mira, I want to give it to the Beis HaMikdash, I want to give it to Ani, right? So he definitely made that form of kinyan of divrei shchiv mira. The suffix is only, is there an umdana that he didn't mean it al manas that he gets better? That's the suffix. But the kinyan was the vadai. So the Rush says just the opposite. A mutzi mechaver alav haraya tells me that it goes to Agdish. It goes to the aniyim. It goes to whoever he said it goes to. And if he wants it back, let him prove that he didn't have in mind to give it to them. And because the last known fact was that he did give it up. Right? That was the last known thing. Now we want to say, oh, but there's an umdana that he didn't really mean it. But we're not sure if there's an umdana. Maybe there's an umdana, maybe there's not. Well, that's a suffix. So if he wants to get it back, if he gets better, he would have to bring a raya. He cannot bring a raya. So the Rush disagrees with the Rambam. Right? The Rush would say that it does go to all of these entities and all of these people if he says so. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. We'll skip the parentheses. Amrav Sheshes. In cases of Shchiv Mira, we said you need to use a strong Lashon to explain that you want someone to be kona it. Not just like we discussed, if a person says, let Ploni live in my house. That doesn't work. You have to say, I'm giving my house to Ploni. Right? You can't just say, let him live in my house. So what are Lashonos of Hakna'a? So Rav Sheshes says the following. Am Rav Sheshes. Yitol, v'yizke, v'yachzik, v'yikne, kulon Lashon Matanehen. Those four Lashonos are very strong Lashonos that certainly suggest Matana. Fine. B'masnisa Tana, the Brisa teaches us another two Lashonos. Af yachsin v'yeras b'roi liyarsho. If the person that Shechiv Merah is giving these nechasim to is someone who anyway is going to receive Yerusha from him, then he can use such a lashon of yachsin v'yeras. Right, either one of those lashonos, because those are lashonos of Yerusha, and if all he's trying to do is redistribute his Yerusha amongst his Yarshim, let's say he has several sons, and they're all going to receive a portion of Yerusha, but one of them makes a very good living, one of them makes a reasonable living, and one of them makes no living at all, so he wants to take care of the one that doesn't do quite as well, and he wants to redistribute the Yerusha. So we learned before, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broki Shita is you're allowed to do that. So as a Shechiv Merah, he can do that as long as he uses one of these Lashonos, as long as he uses one of these stronger types of Lashonos. Now the Rishonim, the Rambam, and the Rashba quote from in the name of the Rimi Gash and in the name of the Rambam that only by Shechiv Merah do these Lashonos help. But by Bari, anything short of a Lashon of Hakna'a, of Kinyin, is totally invalid. For Shechiv Merah, you could say, not just Kinyin, you could say Yachzik, Yizke, Yito, right? These are other forms of Lashonos that will also work. But for a Bari, it needs to actually be for a healthy person, you need to actually use a Lashon of Kinyin. The Rashba himself does not agree with that. He says that whatever Lashon would not work for a Bari, would not work for a Shechiv Merah either, because they weren't misakein. New Lashonos for a Shechiv Merah. The only thing that they instituted for a Shechiv Merah is that he doesn't need to actually do a Kinyan. He can do words in place of a Kinyan, but there weren't Misaki new words that he can use that don't work for a Bari. So that's what the Rashba thinks, that they have to parallel each other. The Yad Ramah writes that these Lashonos work only for a Shechiv Merah for the following reasons. He says, in general, these Lashonos are not 100% foolproof that clearly they mean Matana. Meaning, these are Lashonos that might mean Matana, or might mean, you know, that the guy is just joking around, he doesn't really mean it, he's saying, yeah, you could have it, you can't really have it, we're not really sure. Now, 90% of the time that these Lashonos are used, it does mean a real Matana. But not always. So most of the time they're used as Lashonos of Hakna'a, but since there is a significant minority of time that it's not used as Lashon of Hakna'a, so you can't take money away from somebody based on the fact that you think he really meant it. Right? Because Ein Holchin B'Mamon Achar Rov. You want to say, oh, Rov at the time, when you say such a Lashon, you mean to give it to me, so give it to me. He could say, no, I didn't really mean to give it to you, I was just joking around. That's only true by a bari, by a healthy person. We have a klal that a shchiv merah, that a person ain't on the mishata b'shas misa. People don't joke around on their deathbed discussing where their estate is going to go, right? They don't say, "Oh, that was just a big fat joke." That doesn't happen at that point in a person's life. Early, when a person is a bari, a person is healthy, people joke around all the time. But when a person is on his deathbed, we assume that it's no longer a rove. Now it's 100%. Even when you use these Lashonos. So it's not that fundamentally the Lashonos are different, it's that the circumstances within which the Lashonos are used are different. So a Lashon that means something in one circumstance might mean something else in a totally different circumstance. That's the Ha'ara of the Yad Ramah. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Ibayiluhu. What about the following? Yehana Behen Mahi. What would be the din if he said Yehana Behen? He didn't say a Lashon of Kinyan per se, he just said a Lashon of he should get Hana'a from them. Dinahavi Kulu Matana Kamar? Does he mean to say that it should all be a Matana? Or Dilma Lishani Minayumidi Kamar? Or maybe he means to say that they should be able to get some sort of minimal sense of Hana'a from it. Yira'a Behen Mahu? They should be seen in it. What does that mean? Yamud Behen Mahu? Or if you say they should stand in it, what does that mean? Yishain Behen Mahu? They should lean on it. So all these Lashonos, we're not sure whether they're strong enough. Teku, the Gemara leaves that as a Teku as well. Fine. Yibayiluhu, new Shaila. Machar kol nechas of Mahu. Let's say a person sold his entire estate. So do we assume that when he sold his entire estate, he did so because he planned on dying and he didn't think he would need it anymore, so he figured he'd just rather leave cash to his children? Or do we assume that when he sold his entire estate, look, he got money for it. So he has money to deal with, so it's not like a person would only sell his possessions if he's going to die. You would only give away all your possessions if you're going to die. But when you get money for it, people sell things all the time that are very valuable, and they do so because they get paid. And they use the money to live for the rest of their lives. So, Machar Kol Nechas Mahu, do we assume that if the guy gets better, the sale is void? Or do we assume, no, he got money for it, so the sale is absolutely still valid. So I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav, im amad eino chozer. Rav Yehuda Amarav says, even if he gets better, the sale is still valid. But sometimes Rav Yehuda Amarav would say the opposite. Sometimes he would say, Imam Ad-Khoze, that if he gets better, then the sale is invalidated. So you'd say, well, Rav Yehuda Amarav's got to figure out what he really holds over here. So it says, Gemara v'lo pligi. Rav Yehuda Amarav does not disagree with Rav Yehuda Amarav. Right? He really has one shita, and the shita is as follows. Hadi istun lezuze be'enayu, hadi parinu b'chavo. What did he do with the money after he sold it? If the money is still in his pocket, he still has the money, so then we assume that if he gets better, the sale is going to be off. Because we assume that he was always planning, you know what, if I get better, I'll return the money and I'll get my property back. If I'm going to live, I want my property. I don't want to give up this property. But if he used that money to pay off chovos, then we assume that the sale is final and he can't be chozer on it. Meaning, why did he sell it? Not because he was dying. He sold it because he was deeply in debt. And he needed to sell off his properties in order to pay off his debts. So that's why he sold it, and that's why he paid off his debts with it. But that's not about him dying. That wasn't only as a result of the circumstances that he was dying. That was because he needed the money desperately. The healthy people need money desperately sometimes also when they're in debt. Okay, ibayilhu shchiv mirah shahode mahu. Interesting case. A shchiv mirah has property. We know it belongs to him. It's supposed to belong to him. It's been his entire life, and he says it belongs to somebody else. Right? He acknowledges bepemale that it belongs to somebody else, and we never even would have suspected in a million years that it belongs to anybody but the shchiv mirah. So what do we assume? So what kind of shaila is this? What do we assume? Of course, why should we assume he's lying? So Rashbam explains there are two tzadim over here. The reason to assume he's not lying is very simple. He had no reason to say it belongs to somebody else. He said it belongs to somebody else, so maybe he's not lying. But what's the reason to assume that he might be lying? Because there is a concept that people don't want to appear wealthy. If everyone knows that you're wealthy, so then they don't leave you alone. Everyone's going to want a piece of you. So people don't want to appear that they're too wealthy. So what's he doing? He's doing this, as the phrase goes, shelo lahasbia esbanav, that everyone knows his children are going to yarshin him. Everyone knows he's worth millions and millions of dollars. So if he dies and everyone thinks he's worth all these millions and millions of dollars, so people will assume that his children are now worth millions and millions of dollars. They're not used to this. They're going to get all this money, and people are going to be all over them, and it's going to be very difficult for them. So what does he want to do? He wants to give the appearance that his children aren't really yarshining that much. So he says, oh yeah, my millions of dollars of office buildings that I own in Manhattan or whatever now don't really belong to me. They belong to so-and-so. My children aren't yarshining them. He doesn't really mean it. He's not really being moda. He's just, that's his way of saying that his children aren't going to be so wealthy to get people off their backs. But he doesn't really mean it. So that's the shayla. Do we assume he means it or not? So Tashema, the Gemara brings a raya from the story. Just by the way, that's how the Rashbam explains the shayla. The Tosfos has a few other interpretations of the shayla. If you look directly across from Tashema in Tosfos, he says v'nira l'ri l'faresh shchiv mera shahode mahu mi shahode sheyesh l'ploni mana biyado. When I admit that someone else has $100 in my hands, meaning I owe someone $100. Afal pi sha'anu muchzakim bo she'ein lo, even though our chazak is that he doesn't owe anybody anything, mi amrina dekhani b'matna shchiv mira v'mamar chozer, odil makhani legamri v'mamar einu chozer. Do we assume that that's considered a matna shchiv mira in the sense that if he gets better, he can be chozer, or do we assume that if he gets better, he cannot be chozer? That's a real regular form of kinyan. That's how the Ri understands that this is about the strength of the kinyan of being moda. It's not about whether he's telling the truth, right? It's about, because when you're moda that you owe somebody money, yeah, that's going to work. That's going to mean that it belongs to them. There's no shalol asbi asmanav. That's not the issue over here. The issue is, what kind of kinyan is it? Is it a kinyan that's irrevocable? Or is it a kinyan that if you get better, can be changed? That's really the shayla. Fine, so that's how Tosfos understands. Then Tosfos quotes an od yesh mefarshim later on. But anyway, let's go weiter in the Gemara. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya from the following story. Says the Gemara, Tashma, we had a story. The Isur Giyura, Havalei Treser Alf Zuzei Bei Rava. Isur Giyura had given as a pikadon to Rava 12,000 zuz. A lot of money Rava was holding for Isur Giyura. Now Isur Giyura means a ger. Isur was a convert. Rav Mari Berei. Now Isser had one child, his name was Rav Mari, but Rav Mari was Harasa Shalal B'Kedusha V'Leidasa B'Kedusha Avayi. Rav Mari was conceived when Isser Giyura was still a guy, and he was born when Isser Giyura was already a Jew. So the relationship between Isser Giyura and Rav Mari is somewhat questionable in terms of, are they really considered father and son? Right? Rachmana Afkre Luzare de Mitzri, and the Yichlus doesn't go direct from father to son by a guy. And so that relationship, as we're going to soon see, halachically, is not necessarily a full-fledged father-son relationship. But clearly, he wanted to give all of his possessions to this Rav Mari. So Rav Mari was the son of Isser Giyura. So it says Rashbam, that's why throughout all of Shas, whenever you hear Rav Mari quoted, what does the Gemara always say? It's Rav Mari bar Rachel. Rav Mari, the son of Rachel. It always goes by his mother's name. Why? Because when he was conceived, his father was a guy. So who is this Rachel that slept with a guy? So Rashbam says, now you have to see, the whole story is, the Isser hu Isser Gira Sheba al Rachel Basmar Shmuel Kodem Shinis Gayer. He slept with this Rachel, the daughter of Shmuel, before he was Nisgayer. Vinis Abraham and Ubigius, and she became pregnant from him while he was a guy, as Rav Mari bar Rachel, Ubitochach Nisgayer, and then he became a ger. Vachach Nolad Rav Mari, and then Rav Mari was born. Vavale Ras Shabak Dusha Vale Dasa Bakdusha. Vihimi Bino Shmuel Shinash Vukadisa Baksubis. Why was she sleeping with a guy? She didn't do it because she wanted to sleep with a guy. She was captured by Gayim. He was one of her captors, and he impregnated her. And Rav Mari bar Rachel was the result of that pregnancy, of that captivity. And when she got pregnant, he decided that the father, this Isser, decided he wanted to convert. So he converted to Judaism. That's the family tree of Rav Mari bar Rachel. Says Tosos, wait a second. If you actually look in that Gemara Ksubas of Chav Gimel, this daughter Rachel of Mar Shmuel told the rabbis that no one ever slept with her when she was in captivity. She said, Nishbesi Utahorani, yes, I was captured, but nothing happened. So Frektosos, was she lying? Right? No, the Gemara seems to assume she wasn't lying. So what kind of comment is that? That's how this pregnancy happened. Tosos said, no, we're getting it all wrong. He says, Al-Kain Niridadamrin Bialma on the second very wide line, Rav Mari Barad Bashmuel Acher Hava. He says, Rav Mari Barad Bashmuel was a different person. Rav Mari Barad Bashmuel was not the same as Rav Mari bar Rachel. Rav Mari Barad Bashmuel, the grandson of Shmuel, was a different Rav Mari. We always assumed it was the same Rav Mari. Why? Because why would you call a guy by his grandfather's name, not by his father's name? Rav Mari Barad Bashmuel. Rav Mari, whose maternal grandfather was Shmuel. There must have been something messed up about his father, right? Why else would we refer to him that way? Sestos says, no, that doesn't bother me. Masha Koros al Shem Imo, Lefi Shirot al Yachsach Shmuel. He had one very prominent grandfather. So we wanted to make sure that the Yichus that we define him by is his maternal grandfather, because that was his most prominent relative. That's why we relate him to Shmuel and don't relate him to anybody else. That's the point, but it's not the same Rav Mari bar Rachel as over here. Okay, but anyway, all that is irrelevant to our sugya, really. So what's the issue over here? What's relevant over here is that this ger had money that he had given as a pikadon to Rava, and he had a son that he wanted that money to go to. Ube Rav Hava. The problem is the son was away learning in yeshiva. So Amar Rava, hechinuk ninu Rav Mari lahani zuzi. So Rava started thinking to himself, wow, 12,000 zuz I'm holding on to. How in the world is Rav Mari going to be able to ever be kona this money from his father? After all, let's go through the possibilities. Ibi Yerusha, lav bar Yerushahu. What, Yerusha? He's not able to receive Yerusha. He's not a bar Yerusha, because he's a ger. So he's not going to be able to pass on the Yerusha to his child. It's not really his child, halachically speaking, in terms of Yerusha. Ibi matana, maybe he'll give it to him as a matana. The whole concept of matna shchiv mirah works through the mechanism of Yerusha. So whatever kol heichad yisib Yerusha, yisib matana, whatever can be given as a Yerusha, can be given as a matna shchiv mirah. Kol heichad leisib Yerusha, leisib matana. Whatever cannot be given by Yerusha, cannot be given by matna shchiv mirah either. So that's not going to work. Ibi meshicha, maybe Rav Mari will be coming with meshicha. Lasnu gabei. He's off in yeshiva. He's not here. So he's not going to be able to. He's not anywhere near the possessions. So he's not going to be able to do a Mashiach. Ibe Chalipin, or maybe he'll do a Kinyan Chalipin. Rav Mari will do some sort of symbolic Kinyan to become all this money. Well, Ein Matbea Nikna B'Chalipin. Money can't be acquired with a Kinyan Chalipin. I agav karka, maybe he'll do a kinyan agav, he'll be kona some karka, and then agav the karka, he'll also be kona all the money. No, less layara. Isur Gira doesn't have any land to be makne to Rav Mari, the money to agav that land. So that's not going to work. So what else does he have left? Ibn Maimon Shlashan. Well, maybe he'll use that kinyan drabana that we've been talking about, that tremendous chiddush that you could do Maimon Shlashan, which means get all three parties together. If someone has money that they owe me, and I want to give it to somebody else, just get all three parties together in the same room and say, don't give it to me, give it to that guy. That's great, but you need all three parties to be in the same room. And says, Ravi, Yishalach li lo azilma. Now, I have an easy way out of that one. If he asks me to come, I won't. And that way, he'll never be able to do the kinyan maimon shlashan. So Ravi says, I'm in the money right now. I get 12,000 zuz. This is awesome. Rav Mari has no way of being kona it. So Mask for Rav Ika Bre Ravami. So Rav Ika Bre Ravami said, wait a second, Ravi, I have an idea of how Rav Mari can be kona it. Amai, velodi iser dahalin zuzi, Rav Mari ninu, velikninu bodisa. Can't iser just be moda that the money belongs to Rav Mari, and through hoda'a, it will belong to him. That's a kinyan odisa. Just by being moda alone, the money will go over to his son, to Rav Mari. So adahachi nafak odisa mbe iser. Word got back to iser that the only way he's going to be able to be makna this to his child is through a kinyan odisa. So what did he do? He made a kinyan odisa. He made a public hodah that the money actually belongs to his son. Ikbad Rava. Rava got really upset. Amar kamigami tainasali inshi imasadili. Who's going around telling everyone what our discussions in the Beis Medrash are? People are teaching all the right tainas, and I'm losing money because of it. So he was very upset. He lost the 12,000 zuz because people went around and gave away all the secrets of what the best way to be makna this money is. So Tulsus is very bothered over here. There's a Gemara Maseches Kiddushin that says the following. If I borrow money from a guy, and then that guy's children are megayer, and the guy dies, do I return the money to his children, or do I not return the money to his children? So the Gemara over there asks a stira, that on the one hand we have a brisa that says, lo yachzir lebanav, that you should not return the money, and if you do return the money, ein ruacham nochemenu, the rabbis don't like that, they think you should not. And then we have another brisa that says, Ruacham noche menu. No, the rabbis really want you to return the money to his children. They really prefer that you return the money to his children. And the Gemara explains, what's the difference? Why is it not a stira? One is a case of haraso shelo b'kedusha v'leidaso shelo b'kedusha, and one is a case of haraso shelo b'kedusha v'leidaso b'kedusha. It all depends when the children converted, right? When the conversion happened. If the conversion happened after pregnancy, so then you, but before birth, then you assume that the rabbis want you to return the money to those children. But if the conversion happened only after birth, then the rabbis don't want you to return the money to those children. So Frektosos, what's going on in our Gemara? In our case of Isur Gira, it was Horaso Shelo Bikdusha, Veleidaso Bikdusha. So don't the rabbis want you to return that money? Isn't Racham Nochemenu if you do return that money? So why would Rava not return the money? Right? It says Beferish that you're supposed to. So Tosfos has a couple of suggestions. Number one, he says, Tirus Rabbeinu Tam, Dahasam Kivan Sha'aslo Ha'ovit Chavim Chesed Shehilvelo Yasim Ha'chesed V'itin Lebanav. The reason the rabbis want you to return the money to the guy's children is because the guy did you a chesed. Over there, the guy who lent money to you did you a big chesed by giving you the money. Over here, Rava wasn't lent the money. Isur Giura asked Rava to do him a favor, to watch over the money for him. So Rava wasn't lent the money. It's not an issue of returning a favor, of being kind to the families of people who did you a favor. And therefore, there's no sense of even Racham Noche Menu in this case. That's answer number one. Answer number two, he says in the name of the Rivam, Dikiva delokatani behedya bebraisa, v'imlohichsir ein Racham Noche Menu, lavachayish la Rava. What do the braises say? That if you return it, then the rabbis are very pleased with you. It never said if you don't return it, the rabbis are unpleased with you. Maybe if you don't return it, the rabbis are pariv with you. So Rava was okay with pariv. Right? The rabbis are going to be unpleased, so that would have upset him. That wouldn't have made him comfortable. But pariv he could deal with. Right? So maybe that's the pshat. Then Tosfos says, no, that can't be. Because if whenever we have anywhere in Mishnayos that we say, Ein ruach hamnoche, that ruach hamnoche menu, if you do something, it always means that if you don't do it, Ein ruach hamnoche menu, that the rabbis are unpleased with you. It never means that if you don't do it, it's just parv, it's just fine. It always means that if you do this, then ruach hamnoche menu. If you don't do it, then Ein ruach hamnoche menu. Other Rishonim give a different terutz. And the Ritva says that Rava didn't want to keep the money for himself. He was never planning on keeping it for himself. He wanted it to be a situation where min hadin he does not have to give it back, and then he'd give it back anyway, and then ruach hamnoche menu. What a tzaddik, what a chassid. He does it anyway. So he gets the ruach hamnoche menu. But what happened instead? They made it in such a way that min hadin he was required to give it back. So he missed out on the opportunity for such a midas chassidus. That's how the Ritva wants to suggest. And then the Ritva says, but if you read the Gemara, it doesn't really sound like that's what he's saying. Because at the end of the Gemara, what does Rava say? Why are these people teaching all these tainas that are going to make me lose money? What do you mean, going to make you lose money? I thought you were planning on giving it back anyway. So it doesn't sound like he was planning on giving it back anyway. Others, the Ritva quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ramban, that which we say, Ruach HaMnoche Menu, is when you give to someone who's Horasav Leidaso Shalobik Dusha. No, the rabbis are only pleased when you give it back if everything was Shalobik Dusha. Why? Why are they more pleased if you give it back to someone who has less Kedusha? Because we're worried that if you don't give it back, it's Shami Yachzur Lesuro, that he's going to decide, you know what, this Judaism thing is a joke, these people are mean, I'm going to go back to being a guy. Whereas someone who's more connected to the Kedusha is less likely to backtrack on it, is less likely to walk away from it. So that's why, that's what all it said, asked over there in the Gemara and Kedusha was a steer between two brises, and said, Khan is when he was Shaurasha Shalob Bekedusha, and Khan was Leidasa Bekedusha, right? Was that it didn't say which is which. So that's what the Ramban says, no, we got it backwards. It's better to give it back. The less connection to Kedusha the guy has, the more important it is to give it back to those children. Because we have to try to keep them in the fold. That's one important ha'ar over here. The other important discussion over here, this massive Tosfos that begins down here and goes all the way over most of Amud Beis, which we're not going to obviously get to too much of it, but just to make the point, Tosfos struggles with the following concept. We keep on talking about Divrei Shchiv Mera K'ksuv Nekum Surin Dami, that Shchiv Mera is able to be makna things just by saying. Tosfos is bothered. Why do we need that whole concept? Don't we have another concept called Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis? Whenever a guy is dying, tells you to do something, you have a mitzvah to go ahead and do it. So what do we need this whole divrei shchiv mera k'ksuv nekum surin dami? It's irrelevant. You already have mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. So Tosfos quotes several approaches. I'll just mention very quickly. The Rivam, he says we don't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis unless the mace says it b'lashon sava'a, that you should give it to so-and-so. But if he just says, this belongs to so-and-so, there's no mitzvah l'chaim divrei meis. That's where you need the concept of divrei shchimera k'ksuv nekum surin dami. The Ri says that we don't say the mitzvah l'chaim divrei meis unless you're mashlish the ma'os biyat shlish, unless there's a third party who's holding on to the money right now, and you say to that third party, I want you to go give this money. But if no one else is holding on to the money, then mitzvah l'chaim divrei meis would not apply. Good, so there are lots of different, the Tosfos Maseches Ksuvos says, nafkamina between mitzvah l'chaim divrei meis and divrei shchiv mera is, let's say the guy who you wanted to give it to dies before you do. So if you say mitzvah l'chaim divrei meis, so there's no mitzvah l'chaim divrei meis to give it to that guy's yorshim, but if you hold that it's a real kinyan, that you're makne it to that guy, so then it goes to his yorshim, right? If you hold divrei shchiv mera k'ksuv nekum surin, so then it's a real kinyan, it would go to his yorshim. Others say, no, mitzvah l'chaim divrei meis isn't a kinyan. Mitzvah l'chaim divrei meis is just, it's really the right thing to do, but it doesn't belong to the person that you, a person on his deathbed says, I want this to go to Reuven, it doesn't actually belong to Reuven. If the yorshim sell it before it ever goes to Reuven, their sale is valid. Whereas divrei shchiv mera k'ksuv nekum surin dami means that it actually belongs to Reuven. It's an actual kinyan, much stronger. Okay, let's read a little bit on Amud Beis before we finish the shir. Shir karka kolshu matanaso kayamis. If a person leaves out a little bit of karka from the kinyan, so the matana is going to be a valid matana. The kama kolshu, meaning even if he gets better, that's a valid form of kinyan because you didn't give away everything. The kama kolshu, how much do you have to leave over for yourself for the matana to be valid? Amru yudom raf, karka kade parnasaso. Enough karka to support yourself. Rabbi Yirmi Baraba, Amr Metaltalin Kadei Parnasas. Rabbi Yirmi Baraba says, even Metaltalin enough to support yourself. It doesn't have to be Karka. Amr Rabbi Zeira commented, Kama mechavn shmeitza desabi. How precise are the teachings of the Amoraim? Because after all, it has to refer not only to karka but to metaltalin as well. Why? Karka time amai di kaisamachale. Why do we assume that if you left some karka for yourself, that the kinyan is going to be valid, and when you get better, you just get to keep that little bit of karka that you left for yourself? Is because we assume the reason you left it for yourself is that if you get better, you'll have what to support yourself with. You'll have enough karka to support yourself with. Well, metalfli nami yikai samech ilavayu. The same is true, the same svara holds true for metalfli as well, that if you get better, you'll have something to support yourself with. Maskevla Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, my kavanta, why do you think that's so perfect? Meaning the Amoraim said, no, when it said karka, really meant metaltalin. Man yamar metaltalin, karka tanan. What do you mean it means metaltalin? It says in the Mishnah, karka. Man yamar kadei parnasasin, when you say, yeah, it only means if you left enough karka or enough metaltalin, that's enough to support you. What do you mean? That's not so precise. Kol shu tanan. The Mishnah said, even if you leave a kol shuhu, that implies that even if you leave less than enough to support yourself. Amle Abayi says, "V'kal hecha detani karka, karka dafka." Do you think every time it says karka in Mishnayis, it always means specifically karka, not metaltalin? I'll prove to you otherwise. V'atnan akosiv kol nuchasim l'avdo yatzu ben choron. If you write over all your nuchasim to your eved, the eved goes free. Shir karka kol shu lo yatzu ben choron. If you leave out a little bit of karka, then the eved does not go free, because we assume that just like you left out a little bit of karka from the matana, you left the eved out of the matana as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer li'olam hu ben choron at shiomer kol nuchasim nesun l'ploni avdi chutz me'echem meribo shemehen. Rabbi Shimon says that the eved's always going to go free unless you say that I'm giving everything except for a certain percentage to the Eved. Then we assume that you're not giving the Eved to himself. V'amar Avdimi Bar Yosef, Amar Blazar, Asu Metaltlin Shiur Eitzel Eved, V'lasu Metaltlin Shiur Eitzel Ksuba. The bottom line is, without getting into the details right now, is that when you leave out from the gift to the Eved Metaltlin, that's considered leaving something out of the gift, and therefore the Eved will not go free. So what do you see? That even though it uses a lashon of karka, it really doesn't only mean karka, that you shear karka kol shuhu from your gift to your Eved, it even means if you leave a little bit of metaltalin out. So you see, sometimes the word karka means metaltalin as well. Answers the Gemara, no. Hasam badinu delolis ni karka, vaidid tanaresh, rabbi kivamar karka kol shu chayavs bepeya bibikurim, vluchta vleim prusbo, vluchta vleim chasm shen lachayis, vikas b'shar b'chazaka, mishamachi katani karka. Over there, it shouldn't have used the word karka, but it did, because in context of the resha, it uses the word karka. V'kal haicha detani, okay, period. But over here, the only reason it should use karka is if it really means karka. Maybe we'll go over that last point at the beginning tomorrow. But I just wanted to finish the daf.